Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
How are you?
Wild again.
Are you?
Yeah.
Does it go with the hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
My hair is like, as someone on Instagram said, my hair is a situation. I don't have hair. I have a situation. It is unruly and rude. It has no manners. And it's dictating a little bit of what I'm feeling. So.
And how are you
feeling? Good luck today on this podcast, Karen. My hair may attack you.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
I'm going to begin the story, the client's story, by saying the name is made up, and I'm naming the client Ming.
Ming, okay.
Yeah. I went to China.
Did you?
I went to China for this one. I did. Okay. So her name is Ming, and we're over Zoom together. And at the very beginning of the session, I click, you know, when you click to let the client into the session? Mm-hmm. And right before I clicked, I would say, Kelly, probably for about 10 minutes right before, I felt like I was going to have a panic attack. And there was all of the panic was around the feelings of I'm going to be abandoned. Mm. I'm going to have nobody. Like all of that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, where's that coming from? Is that me? Like, is that because there's change going on in my life? Like, I thought, oh, is this something deep inside that's going on in me right now and coming up? And I had all of these, like, is this my anxiety?
Well, this is the constant question of a medical intuitive and also someone who has mirror touch synesthesia.
Absolutely. You and I have to ask ourselves the questions about what we feel physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually all the time.
Yeah, because it's so real in the body.
Yeah. So I really feel like I'm going to cry. So I also notice, oh, it's not in my stomach. Oh, it's not in my left hip, which is usually where I put it. I can put all that stuff very nicely in my left butt cheek. And all of my massage therapists can vouch that it goes there. So because I don't feel it there.
You heard that she has multiple massage therapists.
I
do. You heard correctly.
Three. That's how bad this is. So, but we're not talking about me. We digress here, Kelly.
We?
Yeah, wait a minute.
I got pulled along for the ride.
And I was talking about me. Just give me a second to get my shit together.
Ming.
Ming is the client that's coming into the Zoom room 10 minutes before I'm feeling all of this stuff and I'm trying to place if it's in my body. Because I know if I go to certain parts of my own body that I will be able to identify it's mine. And in this case, it's not because it's not sitting in that area. So it's like, oh, I know it's my client's. This is Ming's. So as she comes in, I don't say anything right away. I greet her. So we chatted for a bit. Then I went through the whole consent process with her. And then now we're starting to, I'm channeling. And the first thing I said to her was, Ming, did you have like a panic attack before the session? And she goes, yeah. And I said, and is it all a fear of abandonment? And she goes, ooh. And she just pauses for a little while and doesn't say anything to me. And then I said, can you tell me who it is that you, or what it is that you want today? And she goes, yes, yes, I can. She says, it's, I want medium. And I said, who do you want? Oh, whoever you get. And I said, no, I don't do that. I said, I don't just get whoever I want. And I said, it's not up to me and it's not up to the spirit world. It's your session. And I said, so when I'm channeling, you have to pick your own dead people. I don't do that. And she says, oh, I want my brother. And I went, okay. So then I wait a moment and her brother comes in and he says, I can explain to you what's going on. And I said, oh, please do. Because I've asked her a question and she's sort of like, she's not answering me. He goes, it's abandonment. And He said, I can give you the answer. And I said, well, why doesn't she know? And he goes, well, she kind of does, but she just doesn't identify it as that particular issue. And I said, who's the abandonment about? And he goes, me. And I said, well, what happened? And I said, can you give me some facts so that I can speak to her? And he goes, yeah. He says, we have a big family, lots of brothers and sisters. And he says, it's not a blended family. It's biological. So that's great because there's facts. And he says, both mom and dad were alive. Both mom and dad are still alive. And he says, but mom and dad were emotional shit shows. But they met our needs. They paid the bills. They put food on the table. They drove us to where we had to go. They did the things. And he said, but there was no like really deep emotional connection to all of the children. There was to some children when they chose to do it. And he said, but the two of us, we decided that we weren't really getting a lot of that attention. So we met each other's emotional needs. We were each other's person. And he said, and the story goes on. He says, but you can talk about that first if you want. Get all the validations. And he says, but tell her all that. So I said, okay. So I stopped and I said, okay, Ming, I said, your brother is saying, and I repeated all of that. And she just was able and wanting to validate, yes, lots of siblings, you know, both male, female, mom and dad are still alive. That's correct about the meeting our needs, but meeting more children's emotional needs than other children's needs. And that her and her brother were also, I forgot to say that, Kelly, close in age. So they're close in age and they're besties. Like so they're very close. And I said, now, is all of that true, Ming? And she said, yeah. And I said, so your brother is saying that the separation anxiety and the panic attack, I said, is over him. And she goes, okay. And she goes, I can agree. And she says, I'm really sorry, Karen. She says, I think I might still be in the panic attack. Mm-hmm. She says, because you're asking a question I should easily have had the answer to. And she says, I think I'm just trying to get my shit together.
Yeah, this is really common for a lot of clients to, whether you want to call it a panic attack or an anxiety attack, is just like a heightened level of anxiousness because you want so many things out of a session. You want to be open if you're a genuinely good person where it's like, okay, we understand that this is soul or spirit and I want to be open to what is best for me even though I have a human need or want. And those can sometimes be in conflict. And you're walking into the session hoping they're not in conflict and that you can get all the needs met in an hour.
Or half an hour.
Yeah. Yes. So it's like, it's completely normal that most people enter into a session with anxiety, especially if it's their first time.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that with everybody. So then her brother just comes in and he keeps talking to me and he says, I can give you more validations. And he says, and I'm the one that needs to do most of the talking in the session. She really is here to listen and she really is open and she really does want me, but she needs to know what the hell happened. So she's only going to basically say to you, I'm here to be open and to listen to my brother because she really means it, because she really doesn't really know what to ask. And I thought that was really well said from the spirit world to help me. Mm-hmm. And so I repeated it to Ming and she said, that's fair. And she says, I could sit here and get some shit together and tell you what I do need to know and where I am confused. But she says, I think I'm going to listen to my brother and I promise to get more engaged and to be involved when I can, Karen. I'm sorry. She says, I'm just literally sweating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She says, and now I'm uncomfortable and I didn't realize I was going to have this reaction when I booked this appointment. She says, so I've caught myself off guard. And I said, that's okay. I said, I also do energy healing. And you gave me permission at the beginning of the session for energy healing. It's the first thing I said. It's the first thing I say in every single session. And I said, I'm going to do energy healing on you immediately so that your anxiety can come down immediately. And she went, please do. And if you need to be quiet and close your eyes, go ahead. I said, no, I don't. I don't need to be quiet. I don't need to close my eyes. I said, we're just going to do. And I said, you can let me know as we go through the session if it's helpful. And she says, well, I think it might be happening because I'm starting to feel like I'm listening to you now and that I'm not in some faraway place mm-hmm. listening like you're through a fog. She said, so continue. So her brother comes in and says that they were very close right through into adult, into where they both go to school. So she validates that stuff, like where they both go to school. They go to separate schools, and I mean universities and stuff. And then she marries first, but they still stay really close. And her husband sees the relationship between the two of them as they parented each other. Mm-hmm. They have parents who meet needs and show up sometimes, and even sometimes for them emotionally, but not consistently. And they met each other's emotional needs consistently. So he sees the relationship and he totally values it, and it's totally, he doesn't interfere. Like, he very much welcomes his brother-in-law and understands, yeah, my wife is this guy's person. I'm not taking that away from him. Mm-hmm. I'm secure enough to see this mm-hmm. and value it and accommodate it and encourage it and support it. So I told Ming all of that, and she's like, yeah, I married a pretty great guy. Like this. And then she says, go ahead, continue. That's that. And then Ming says, yeah, okay. He says, this is where the abandonment comes in. He says, I meet my wife, and he says, she is not in the least like her husband. But I don't totally see that on earth. I just see this woman that I think is hot and that I feel like I'm kind of like in a time crunch now. I want to get married. I want to be like my sister. I want to have my partner. I want a partner like hers. But I don't take my time to actually see if my partner is really like her partner. He doesn't do that. And he says, so I was in more of a rush to catch up. She already had a child and was pregnant with a second, and I felt behind. And he says, I can see it now. He says, on the other side, that I didn't make healthy decisions for myself and the woman that I chose, but I would never have admitted that till the day I died. And I said, so wait a minute. Did you stay with this wife till the day you died? Absolutely, I did. And he says, because there was no way I was going through a divorce. There was no way I was going to lose my children. And I said, why would you have lost your children in a divorce?
Because they were hers. Or did they have children
together? No, they have children together.
Oh, you left that out. Okay.
Sorry, no, they have children together. So that's why I asked the question. I said, what happened? Whose kids are they? Like, you have mm-hmm. to ask all those questions just the way you just did. Were they her children? Were mm-hmm. they yours? Were they half? Like, what happened here, right? So I have to get that as validations. Will I find out that they are biologically his and hers? But what his wife does is she, as we know the term, love bombing. So she presents everything that he wants in a partner at the beginning of the relationship, and right to the point of years in to when she's pregnant. And it's once she's pregnant that the real her presents itself. And he's blown away because it's like, what? He had been allowed to have a close relationship with his sister. She had encouraged it at the beginning. But once she's pregnant, it's like, you're not going to your sister. You're not calling your sister. Why would you call your sister? You have me. I'm your partner. You're not supposed to need her anymore. It's supposed to be us. So he starts explaining how this happens slowly. She doesn't just wallop him all in one day. She just starts going at it slowly, and then it gets like more severe. And what becomes severe are the consequences of when she gets moody, when she turns off his ability for sex, when she starts to control what time they're going to eat, or if she's going to go to this event at his family's, or she's going to stay home, I don't feel well, I'm pregnant. But he starts to see it as, oh, it's not that she doesn't feel well or whatever it was. She starts manipulating. So he tells me about all this manipulation. He says a few things, but he chooses things that will make sense to his sister. And then he chooses some things that his sister doesn't know about on purpose, where she purposely cannot validate. And I have to explain that to Ming. You will be able to validate this. You will not be able to validate that. And she goes, well, if I can't validate it, how do I know it's my brother?
Because the other accuracy of the other messages.
That's right. And she's like, oh. And this is a point in a session where the client either gets to say, I'm in.
Yeah.
Or I'm out. And now I don't think you know what you're doing.
Well, yeah. And that's the dangerous window that a lot of, well, all clients have, is that you have an out.
Yep.
To deny, you have an out to attack, you have an opportunity to just be who you want to be. I'm going to word it that way. Because the way that we function is, and then I'm going to oversimplify this, if I'm accurate about what you had for dinner last night, I'm accurate about where your next home is going to be. If I'm accurate about what you said to your partner last night, I'm accurate about the decision that your boss is about to make. Like, we choose something that you can confirm. We get accuracy about that so we know we can trust the other information that is either filling in the blanks of things that already happened and you can't confirm, or the future information you might be curious about. And when people like the information, they're happy to trust the process and the accuracy. When they don't like what they're hearing, that's the out that I was talking about, to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're making things up.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you again for explaining that. So I can see that. I can see what Ming is in. And I know this because, I mean, it's been 16 years professionally, 6 days a week doing it. I know what she's going through.
Yep.
And I know the choices that she's facing. And I know the behavior. And I can feel it. And I can hear the spirit guide saying exactly which one she's going to pick.
So here we go. Ming is faced with the decision as to whether or not she is going to be truthful and honest about how the relationship disintegrated between her and her brother because of her brother's choices. And the reason that that is extremely difficult and heartbreaking for Ming, so please hear the compassion, is that if this has been the person that she has believed has met her emotional needs her entire life, she can't afford to give up this image or perspective of her brother, because if she sees it for what it became, because it wasn't always that way, then she would have to take him not down a peg, but off a pedestal. Right? She would have to see him as human. She would have to see him as also someone who hurt or abandoned her. And if she can't afford to face that reality, then you're an easy target to attack. Because how dare you speak that way about my wonderful brother?
Yeah.
Instead of having the humility to face a hard truth and say, thank you for telling me the truth about my situation. And thank you for witnessing my life and validating the feelings that I'm experiencing.
Stop. This is my entire session.
I know,
session.
But it's also my job. The funny and hard thing about this podcast is that if I let you fully do your job, I don't get to do mine.
Right? I know. I'm just teasing you.
I know.
Yes, yes, yes. And actually, Kelly, I tease you in that regard because I'll just say it anyway.
Yeah. I get it.
I love how you come, I'll say fully packed.
Thanks.
Meaning that you come with all of your abilities in psychology, life coaching, experience, channeling, like you come fully packed.
Thanks.
And that you show up to.
I like fully loaded. It sounds a little bit.
Fully loaded?
Less weird.
Okay, I'll say fully loaded as you wish.
Thanks.
That you come fully loaded to be able to explain that to people. I love it. And then I'm just going to bounce right back in and tell people exactly what happened in the session.
And I'll drink my coffee.
Yeah, because they still want to hear what happened to Ming. They're invested in the story as well. So let's go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's have at it. Ming did a great job. I just want everybody to know Ming did a great job.
You cannot, unless you've been a client, you cannot imagine the excitement that we feel, experience, and also celebrate with the client when we watch them in this this indecision, right? Where this choice point moment of, okay, am I going to lean into denial and defense, or am I going to lean into the truth and really embrace what's going on here so I can grow? And when we watch them lean into the embrace, it is just, it's magical.
Yeah, it's what we both live for.
Yeah, it's why we do what we do.
Yes, because when they don't, we know they're suffering. Yeah. And we know the suffering when we see it on Instagram mm-hmm. and the attacks of she doesn't know what she's doing, blah, blah. We know. We see the hurt. We know what the hurt is. We don't judge the hurt. It's mm-hmm. just evident. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So he comes in and he says all of these things. I explain it to Ming. I see what she's doing. Ming says to me, I want to hear more. Can you continue, please? And I said, absolutely. She says, this is making sense to me. I need this. So then he continues to say how his wife manipulates what she says to the children to make sure that the children don't like his sister. So that when he brings up her and her husband and the kids, his kids are having a response. I don't want to go to Aunt Ming's. Like,
okay, so hang on. Let's spell this out. Similar to Ming's choice point,
mm-hmm.
that woman,
mm-hmm.
the wife, is creating a situation where her children mm-hmm. are in the same situation as Ming.
Yes.
Where they are dependent on mom, mom's love, mom's approval, mom meeting their needs. They can't afford at that point to feel or think differently than mom if what they're doing is trying to survive their environment. So they're taking their cues from mom, siding with her, right? So that life is good here at home. Mom will continue to want to meet my needs. If I choose my aunt, I'm going to be in trouble. Who's going to be the one to make my meet my needs? And who will protect me if mom chooses to make my life difficult?
And we see not dad.
Exactly.
Not the only other adult in the house.
Well, yeah, because his self-esteem has been ripped to shit. So how do you then stand up for your kids unless you have a Herculean moment where you're like, whoa, I'm awake. Enough is enough.
Exactly.
And apparently he died before that happened.
That's correct. Yeah. So he, as you said, he doesn't get his Herculean moment. He doesn't create it, take it, whatever. It just does not happen. So he explains to his sister that this is what his wife did. And that Ming says to me, oh my God, I needed this.
Yes.
I freaking needed this. This has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
And I said, Ming, that's absolutely right. It has nothing to do with who you are as a person or who you were as a sibling or who you were as a sister-in-law or who you were as an aunt. It has everything 100% to do with a terribly insecure woman that he chose to marry. It has to do with her and it has to do with their dynamics in their relationship.
Okay.
And more.
I want to point out something really wonderful that you just said here that I think will go over a lot of people's heads. You did not say terrible woman. You said terribly insecure woman.
Yes, that's right.
And I want people to hear the difference, mm-hmm. okay? People's behaviors super suck. So many of our behaviors suck. I'll throw myself in there. I'll throw you in there, right? No matter how healthy, as human beings, we have sucky behaviors.
Yeah.
That does not make you a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that these terrible behaviors stem from terrible insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, where compassion can sit for us, for ourselves, for other people, not to give them entry into your own life, not mm-hmm. for you to have shitty boundaries, but for you to have better understanding of what the situation is. Like she said, this is not about me.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can put the boundaries in place as needed to healthily protect ourselves.
Yeah. So he says to her, he says to Ming, you married and broke the patterning. In the choice of husband that you chose and in the way you chose to raise your kids, I continued it. So he says to Ming, I married mom and dad. He said, I married a combination of the two of them. And he said, and then I became a combination of the two of them. And then we raised, now we have kids in that same thing. And he says, so we have kept the generational shit going. You're the one that broke it. That is where everything's separated.
Mm-hmm.
And Ming sits there and looks at me and she says, don't talk. And I know this. Oh, I know this moment.
This is the dentist finger moment that I always tell people about, that universal, like, please stop.
Yeah, it's the moment. And I know it. I know the cue. She just goes, please stop. And I'm just, yep. And I hold the energy. Mm-hmm. My job is to be in the energy healing so that she can take it all in. She can feel all her feels. She can feel satisfied. She can feel sad. She can feel mad. She can feel like the confusion is starting to pull out of her mind. She can let go of the over responsibility. She can, and so on and so on. There's so many things occurring inside of her. She needs more than a moment. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, in this session, we are certainly going to give her whatever moment or minutes she's asking for. So she sits for a little while. We're very quiet. And then she looks back up at me and she says, "You're my witness."
Yes.
And I said, "Yes, Ming, I'm your witness." And she goes, "Oh, you know this. You've done this before." I said, "Yes, Ming, I've done this a lot." And I said, "I do understand I'm your witness. It's why I won't look away." And I said, "So for the full 3 minutes we've been sitting here, I don't look away from you in the camera. I don't put my head down and start writing. I don't blow my nose to the side. I don't look out the window," which I do a lot in sessions. I said, "I stay focused and I look you straight in the eye on Zoom so that you know you are being seen." Mm-hmm. And I said, "I understand how this is your moment. Because you've told your husband, you've talked to other people, your girlfriends, you may have gone to a therapist trying to figure it all out. The therapist and you may have done beautiful work figuring it out, but you're actually talking right here, right now to your brother." Mm-hmm. "This is a completely different moment." Mm-hmm. And I said, "It's where you're getting the truth right out of your brother." And I said, "So I understand how much you need to sit in this with your brother. It's not just that you're sitting with me because I'm the witness, but you're also sitting with his energy. So there are two things and two beings that you are sitting with." Mm-hmm. And she went, "Yes, wait, I need three more." She says, "I forgot I was sitting with him. I just thought I was sitting with you." Mm-hmm. Like this. And I went, "Oh, okay, let's go." So we sat and we had three more minutes where she got to sit and hear inside of herself that, "Oh my goodness, it's not just that I'm sitting with Karen and she's witnessing it. Now I need to sit with my brother because he's the one that's actually telling me." Mm-hmm. So we had another 3 minutes together.
I think this is really cool because, you know, some people might sit there and be like, "Well, that's a lot of money to sit quiet for 6 full minutes. Yep, it is. However, you think about when you sit down in a moment of a much owed apology, where you feel the difference in that person's energy when they are the ones who witness you as they are offering you the sincere remorse, when they are building the relationship repair, you want to sit with them because they are witnessing you. They're saying, "I see you, I love you, I understand you, you matter to me," right? And to sit with a medium, or to just see it as you're sitting with a medium and forget that you are actually sitting with the person who is giving you the heartfelt apology and relationship repair, you can blow past that and really miss a lot of what the grieving process requires. So I love that she honored that time and took it and asked for what she intuitively needed.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, especially given that she was so nervous walking into the session, could have easily said to you like, "Okay, so sorry, yeah, continue, go ahead. Sorry, you were channeling," and want to move on, right? And not waste your time or their own and see it from a different value standpoint, when really what we've been needing this entire time is the truth and the apology.
Kelly, this came out at the end of the session when we were done. And she says to me, "Okay," and I just want to jump in right now and say it to you. Mm-hmm. At the end of the session, she said, "Oh God, if I look down at my piece of paper, I wanted to ask you about my career. I wanted to ask you about a move. I wanted to ask you about each of my children and how to support them." And she says, "And then I realized that when I saw, like now that I'm looking at my sheet, that is not what I needed. I can book another session with you. I can go online. I'll pop onto the system and catch a cancellation or something. I'm good."
And also, sometimes when you get exactly what she just got, you look down at that list and you're like, "I can do that on my own. I can navigate a house on my own. I can tune into my children now," because of that being seen, being validated, being feeling that, digesting a new belief system that I matter. right? And that it didn't all disintegrate when he abandoned me and I couldn't figure out why I felt like I didn't matter. Those human things that she wanted to ask about, even though I love when people come in and say, how can I best support my kids? You actually feel the self-efficacy at that point because of the repair that just happened in the apology.
I think this is one of my favorite shows ever. Yeah.
And I love that because this is the whole point. It's not to make people feeling dependent that every time they have a question or a wondering that they should book with a medium and get the exact answer. It's to be able to build back your self-esteem so you can go fucking inward, okay, and get that answer yourself. Open back up to your own intuition and trust it. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. People come to us when they don't have that self-esteem or that support system around them just yet.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. Now let's go back into the earlier part of the session because we had jumped to the end. Now, there was one more thing I wanted to say, that she said how important it was, Ming said how important it was to hear about her sister-in-law because she's still alive and that their children are still alive. So she says, I needed to hear this because I didn't get to see my brother before he died. Mm. I didn't get to speak to him. I didn't get to visit with him. She didn't call me. She just texted me and said that he had passed. And when I said, well, what did he pass of? Did he have a car accident? No, he had cancer. So, well, did he have cancer and he like was diagnosed and died within the week? No, he had cancer for over a year. Mm. So then Ming finds out, oh my God, do you mean to tell me that my brother was dying and he still couldn't reach out to me and that my sister-in-law refused? Like she had to have that much control over another person, all these people, that I still couldn't connect with my brother before he died. So it was important for her to hear all of this because her sister-in-law has just recently reached out because she needs financial support. And she's looking to Ming and her husband to help her sister-in-law and the kids. And Ming is sitting there saying, I now know my answer. This has helped me tremendously know what really did occur and where I really can make the decisions that are healthiest for me. And speak to my husband about them and speak to our children about them because our children are older now. They are not children anymore. These aren't little kids that we can speak and say, here are all the truths. You make your own decisions about whether you want relationships with your aunt, your cousins. That's up to you guys. This is what my sister-in-law or your aunt and uncle did for these decades. But moving forward, you make your own choices. Mm-hmm. So she says, I'm really grateful to hear all of it because it gives me a better foundation of where my inner knowings were correct, but also where my husband was correct in the things that he said, where the kids showed up and said things, and now I can validate that they were correct in their own feelings or what they saw on a Facebook or whatever, right? She says, this helps me with all of the truth. And she says, now each of us can make our decisions individually as to what we want going forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. It's a great story. I think tons of people will be able to draw lessons from this.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, I appreciate what you shared and how we were able to break that down together. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.